Now joining the program, Winona State head football coach Brian Bergstrom. Coach, thanks so much for the time. As always, greatly appreciate it. We got the spring game on Saturday. You've had the month of April to get with your team, have spring ball, if you will. First off, wanted to ask, what's the vibe around spring camp? How's it going? What's the energy like around the team?
It's been great. To be honest, I don't think our locker room culture has been ever better within the last couple of years. I just think we're growing closer together and we're understanding each other more and understanding what it's going to take the next step. And so the energy level has been great. I think it helps that we're a much more player-led football team right now than we have been. And they've done a great job of keeping the standard high and living the standard themselves and then making sure that we're keeping everybody accountable to it. So it's been a ton of fun.
How do you mean exactly a much more player-led team?
Well, I think when you have 115 guys on a team, you can't depend on one person, me as the head coach, or just the coaches to lead. You need more. You need to multiply your leadership. Mm-hmm. And what we mean by that is have more leaders with boots on the ground, so to speak, that are a player in the locker room or on the field that is in sync with the coaches in terms of leadership. And I know this, when I was playing college football, or really any sport for that matter, if one of my peers said something to me, it resonated at even higher level than if one of my coaches said something to me. So by player-led, I mean they're doing more of it. Coaches need to do less. It's not that we're fully removed, obviously, but it's nice to step back and see them lead and take their football team where they want to go.
Last season, we all sort of were aware that the dog on the team, if you will, for lack of a better term, was Clay Scheffner. Now Sheff is looking to be drafted. He's on to bigger and better things. Who's the next in line in leadership? Give us a few names that have sort of taken that role on upon themselves.
Well, I think no one person is going to replace a Clay Scheffner because of just his style.
Right.
And all the work that he had put in. So it's more, whether it's defensively or leadership-wise, it's more replace him by committee. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is multiple people are going to be stepping up in multiple roles to be able to do that. And we certainly have done it on defense. Sir, there's going to be somebody playing in the position that Clay played. Obviously, Brent Jeske's been having a great spring. But it's not like we're expecting him to be Clay next year from a leadership perspective or a play perspective. We've challenged the defense that y'all got to step up to replace the leadership. And I would argue that puts us in an even better spot, having more people do it rather than just depending on one. Because when you depend on one, if something happens to that one, then there's a big gaping hole. Now, if you have 3, 4, 5, 6 guys filling that role, something happens to one, you still have 2, 3, 4, 5 guys doing the same thing. So I think between that on defense and then our leadership council, I just can't say enough good things about those guys. We've had 13 guys that multiple times a week all off season have spent time with me, and we have taught and learned and had discussions and debates and about leadership as opposed to just saying you go lead. We've had 13 guys on a leadership council that's been elected by their team, by their position group. And that's a huge reason why we've elevated our, in locker room leadership is those 13 guys. So excited to see it come to fruition.
I feel like you guys are in an interesting spot here in this spring. Not only do you have the new players, the freshmen, the transfers, whatever it may be, but it's new coaches now too, and specifically the big one with Cosgrove filling in the offensive coordinator role. How has that progressed with not only the staff but the players as well?
You know, it's been great. Transition happens in life, and it happens in athletics, and it happens with players, and it happens with coaches. And you want to keep as much continuity as you can. And like we said, our priority was going to find the best mentor, teacher, motivator, master of their craft. And Coach Cosgrove and Coach Parnell, two new coaches on offense, have done a great job of designing a system that's very similar to what we have done, but with new wrinkles and some new framework things. They've done a great job of developing relationships with our guys and vice versa, our guys with them. There's a high level of trust after about a month and a half. And I think our guys are, 2 years ago, they learned a whole new offense, and they're better at learning new things the more you learn new things. So they've done a good job of picking it up. And again, there has been a high amount of carryover. You know, certainly with Coach Bailey and Coach Curtin on that side of the ball too, they're able to pull in what we have done and what's worked and what we like. And I've known Coach Cosgrove for a long time. He was a player when I was a graduate assistant in 2004, 2005 at St. Cloud State, an All-American D lineman, and we've stayed in touch ever since. And Coach Parnell and I have gotten to know each other over the years, and so I just couldn't be more confident in the fit that they are and the growth that our whole team has made, but certainly the offense had the most learning to do.
If I'm not mistaken, now Cosgrove was a defensive lineman at St. Cloud State. Is that correct?
So he played defensive line at St. Cloud as a player, but his whole career has been pretty much on offense. And he's been the offensive coordinator at Gustavus for the last 14 years. So when he was a GA, he kind of got into the offensive line side, knowing that sometimes you just step up where needed, right? And what a great thing. As he already knew defensive line play, he flipped to the other side and focused on O-line and then started to learn more offense. And then once his career kind of took flight and it took a trajectory, he was, you know, promoted at Gustavus, where we also worked together from an offensive line coach to a run game coordinator to the offensive coordinator and play caller. So he's been doing this for quite a while. Both of them have awesome families and supportive wives. And Coach Cosgrove has three young kids, and Coach Parnell has two. And just a great fit for Winona State and our football program.
I think it's a really interesting perspective he brings, being on that defensive side of the ball as a player, and then he worked his way up as an offensive coach. To continue on with Cosgrove, does the offense look any different? You sort of alluded to that. A little wrinkle here and there, but overall, is it still sort of the same scheme offensively, Coach?
Yeah, it's very similar. There's some probably more operational things, or the way things are called or signaled, or you know, the way things are taught that maybe are a little bit different, more to if you're inside these walls. But outside the walls, I think you're going to see just another step in a lot of the changes that we were going to make. Had nothing changed from a staffing perspective. So, to the, I don't see outside people thinking there's this huge departure for what we've been. I certainly know our players don't think so.
Mm. Speaking with head coach of Winona State football, Brian Bergstrom, I know you gave Isaac a lot of control last season in that offensive room. Are you doing the same sort of ideology there with Cosgrove and Parnell? Are you sort of letting them off on that long leash and doing their own thing?
Yeah, I mean, we're on the same page, and we spend a lot of time behind closed doors together. Given the nature of staffing at Division II football, I lean more defensively in terms of the on-the-field coaching as my expertise. And so I can't do a good job trying to do every job. So I need to be able to be wise with how I delegate. And when hiring an offensive coordinator, that's why it's so big to me, because I know I'm going to spend more time on defense. That I'm going to hire somebody that I'm going to trust, and I'm not going to micromanage them, and I'm going to let them do their job and let them manage the staff on their side of the ball. And just like same thing with Coach Erickson on defense, it's just I'm over there a little bit more. So yeah, the plan of attack is the same, but we're very much on the same page behind the scenes.
Year two didn't go as planned in terms of the win-loss record. I don't doubt that the process was there, and the process continued to get better time over time. But is there anything different in this sort of window of spring ball this season as opposed to last year when you were coming off a much more successful season in the win column?
Well, you bring up an interesting point. I think certainly 2 years ago, the win column looked better. You know, the record looked better and went to the playoffs, and it was. Objectively, it was. I've, you know, with time to process and let it sink in, I see a couple major a couple differences from the two seasons. I think 2 years ago, to be honest, the ball bounced our way a couple times in some close games and got some momentum. And this year, maybe it didn't. And that's the nature of just sport. So that's not anything that really has to do with talent. But I think 2 years ago, we had a lot of our upper level talent. The guys that were playing were experienced. They had more game reps over their career. You know, a lot of guys that have been here 4, 5, 6 years, even with COVID. And this last year, I think we were equally talented. We were not as experienced, and experience is so critical to be in the big moment, to be in the big game. Even if you end up losing the game or not being your best, is valuable. And we didn't have as much of that. So I think that led to, you know, a 500 season. And because we are, you alluded to it, because we are focused on the process, the record isn't all we're looking at. We would argue that after that, coming off that season, I think we are in a better position from a team culture, buy-in, what do we got to do moving forward position than we were 2 years ago coming off the playoffs. And I can tell you this, that we're a much, it was a different vibe in terms of the hunger of the off season, because everybody knows that's not good enough. Every single coach, every single player, every single support staff knows that that's not our standard. And we're going to do everything we can on a daily basis, not worrying and not having anxiety about what our record's going to be, just about being our best on a daily basis, so that the kind of the byproduct of all the work that we've done can come out in the fall. So, you know, we've long moved on from what our record was last year. I mean, we moved on from that about, you know, a couple days after the season.
Winona State head football coach Brian Bergstrom on the line right now. You love competition, coach. You preach competition. Competition breeds excellence. We've heard all of that. I think you're in a really interesting spot with the quarterback position this coming year. You have Cole Stenstrom, the quarterback who played every down last year, and then you have this transfer kid in Anderson from NDSU. What is sort of your philosophy in spring ball right now in the quarterback room, and are you treating it as it's an open competition?
You bet. It's an open competition. It's an open competition at every spot, and quarterback and kicker and D lineman. Nobody's immune to that. So certainly Cole has the most experience here. And Peter Anderson doesn't have a lot of game experience, but has a lot of high level competition experience at practice at North Dakota State. And Jackson Floatmeyer, who's a freshman this year from Aquinas and Lacrosse, has had a great spring. And, you know, Justin Wohlers has been hurt. He had surgery in the offseason, so he's gotten a lot of mental reps. And A.J. Palicki is an incoming freshman, or he enrolled early, so he's been here since Christmas. So those have been our guys, and we're giving them equal opportunity to show, you know, what they have. And as it gets closer and closer to game time throughout fall camp, that'll become more and more clear, and it's our full intent to be able to, you know, go into the season much like last year, having a starter and not playing multiple quarterbacks like we did 2 years ago. Now, maybe that we may have different packages for some different quarterbacks, but not like a 50-50 split time.
If I remember from last season, Isaac Frichte spoke pretty highly of the young Jackson Flottmeyer, rather. You guys feel pretty high on him. Can you give us an idea of where he is at progression and what he could be as a Warrior?
Well, I think what comes natural to him is just he has an innate ability. I think some of it's maybe biological. Some of it's just the situations he's been put in the leadership roles. He's a leader, and he's bold, and he's kind of like he has some Clay Scheffner in him, like the alpha dog.
The
like,
dog, yeah.
We'll put it on my back, and you know, won a lot of football games and state championships, and knows what it takes, and he's a big presence too. He's big and he's long and he's physical, which I think helps in that in that type of a role. I think where we've seen the greatest strength is just some of the refined QB skills that you have to be on point with in college football. and just knowledge of football and how to play quarterback in college is just different than how you play it in high school. You just a lot more is put on your shoulders. So I've seen a ton of, you know, I've seen more growth there on the mental side and just kind of the refining of the finer details of quarterback play. He's been a leader. He's continuing to be a leader. And you know, I think he's only getting bigger and stronger and faster. So he's certainly a guy we're excited about as well.
How do you value continuity at that spot? You know, how do you value the continuity versus talent?
Well, it's probably involves the most conversations, you know, as a coaching staff when it comes to quarterback, because you want to go with someone you trust, certainly. But you want to go with somebody that can make plays, and that's where the talent comes in, and that where those two things intersect, and that's why it's kind of a subjective decision, right? It's not like, well, whoever runs the fastest 100, we're going to have run in this heat of our track team, because it's not like that. There's so much that goes into it. So I think the fair answer is that it's a balance of that. It's a level of knowledge and leadership and talent, but then also a level of trust between coach to quarterback, quarterback to coach, but then quarterback to his offense, right? They have to believe in him. And really, really cool deal, that room right now, our quarterback room, and credit to Coach Parnell, too, for coming in and mentoring those guys. They compete like no other against each other, but are incredibly supportive of each other. And they all know that when I'm better, my teammates get better. When they're better, I get better. And it doesn't help anybody to not have the whole room elevate its game. So that's been fun to see.
I know you. We're running out of time here, Coach. Last question for you. What's your mission in spring ball? And as it nears an end, do you feel that you've accomplished that mission?
Well, I think overall program-wise, our mission every day is to grow. And I know that you've heard me say that. So that's regardless of the time of year. I think this off season, we really challenged ourselves when we thought of grit, growth, and team. We really thought we need to be a tougher football team, a more disciplined football team, and a more invested football team. Those were areas that we were going to pour into in the off season. And toughness isn't just a physical thing. It is certainly physical. Okay, we got to be tougher on the line of scrimmage. We got to be tougher around the ball, stopping the run. But we also got to be more mentally and emotionally and spiritually just tougher, more resilient. So we put them in positions all winter long, all spring long, to try and refine that, improve that, celebrate that. And discipline, it so much comes down to the details when you're trying to grow. Discipline is the ability to do things you don't want to do when you don't want to do them to get the result that you want. And a lot of times it comes down to little things. And so we've really tried to address that in the off season and teaching more of the finer points and elevating the standard of what is necessary. And then just the continued level of investment. We have a lot of young players in the program still that need to invest time to learn the system so they can play fast. And so within grit, growth, and team, I mean, we focused on toughness, discipline, and investment this offseason. And to answer your question, I think the team certainly has had, I have 2 years to compare it to. This is our third offseason, the best offseason that we've had. Now, does that guarantee success? You know, wins, loss? No, it doesn't guarantee it, but it gives us the best chance. And I couldn't be prouder of the work that they've done, the buy-in that they have, the care for each other that they have. Of not only our team, but our staff.
Winona State head coach Brian Bergstrom, thanks for the time, Coach. Always appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow, and we'll be seeing you tomorrow, Coach.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.